Lamentations chapter 3. I believe it's on page 688 of your Pew Bible. And the title of our message is New Mercies for a New Year. I don't know what 2020 holds. I know a lot about a lot of things. I like to go to Savers. You know, it's a Goodwill store, secondhand store, and my whole outfit I got for $25. I got a $12 suit. The great thing is, if you look at the labels, these are like $200 suits. Don't you love getting something for a good deal? Brother Ahmed, I know you love it. His favorite place is the Dollar Tree. He's like, look at all the stuff you could get for $1. So everything, you know, I got, and it was almost like a gift, you know. It's so wonderful when you feel cared for, you feel taken care of. God provides for us, doesn't He? And more than our clothing, you know what He provides? Eternal life. He provides His presence for us. And it's not based on us, it's based on Him. And that's what our text today is all about. It's all about new mercies for a new year. Our text is one of the great crowning points of the Old Testament, when the believers are taken away from Jerusalem, from their home, and they're taken to Babylon. And Jeremiah, the likely author of Lamentations, is writing probably from Egypt. And he sees God's people scattered. He sees God's temple destroyed. He sees God's plan, at least what he thought was God's plan, derailed. And he gets very, very hopeless. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place, maybe it was last year or the year before, you had a time during the year when you thought, man, where is God in all of this? Where is He? Well, this morning we're going to see that God gives us new mercies. He gives us in Lamentations 1, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, a new perspective. Because in verse 17, he says, I've forgotten what happiness is. You ever been there? And worse yet, he doubts the Lord in verse 18. He gets his eyes on himself. He gets his eyes on his circumstances. And he says in verse 18, so my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. My hope from the Lord is gone. Can I just rejoice this morning that Christ is my Savior? Can you rejoice in that? That Christ is your Savior? He says in John 10, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of His hand. I and the Father are one. You belong to Christ. Jeremiah knew this. He knew that he belonged to the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar or any other king could not snatch Jeremiah out of Jehovah's hand. We stumble and fall. We fail. Our vision becomes myopic. And all we see is what's right in front of us. And it looks so big. These trials look so enormous. But can I just say that our God is greater than anything you're going through? In fact, whatever you're going through, whatever life brings in this new year, will expose who you really are. And you need to have a renewed perspective of your position and your identity in Christ. That's so vital. I am not a pilot. I remember when the Top Gun movie came out when I was a kid, and I was so excited about planes. I wanted to be a pilot. I talked to a guy who was a pilot, and he's like, Matt, you're blind. You can never be a pilot. I was like, but I like planes. My wife, I found out that she loves planes, and she knows everything about planes. You didn't know this about my sweet little wife, but she used to sell motorcycles during nursing school. She was the top seller so much that they asked her at the Honda shop to leave nursing and just sell motorcycles for a living. You know, sometimes when we get our eyes off the Lord, it's like looking into a funny mirror, right? And we forget what happiness is. We forget that our joy is not in the happenstance of this world, but it is in Christ Jesus. Amen? And by the way, the Bible commands us to rejoice in the Lord sometimes, right? Oh, I'm sorry, I misquoted that verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's a command, saints. And so, I love the book of Lamentations because it's so raw. It's so real. It's very similar to Ecclesiastes in some ways. It's very existential. And the philosophy of existentialism is essentially that what you see and touch and feel is all there is. There's nothing more. That when you die, you go and take a dirt nap. That's it. That's existentialism. And I don't believe it. Because there's so much more beyond what we can see, touch, taste, and feel. Can I get a witness here? The reason Jeremiah had forgotten what happiness is because he got his focus off of God and onto himself. You ever been there? I'm there every day. I start the day that way. That's my starting position, and I have to get down on my knees and lift my heart to the Lord every single day. We have to do that every day. And so we need to have a renewed perspective of Christ. See, whenever you're in a terrible situation or a wonderful situation, it's going to expose who you are. So Jeremiah, for a moment, loses his focus on the Lord, and he says, my hope from the Lord has perished. My endurance is gone. I don't know how I can go on. But he doesn't stay there. Amen? What does he say? I call this to mind. I make a choice in my thinking to remember who I am in the Lord. We need to remember who we are in Christ. We need to remember that our heart and our mind still has a tinge of fallenness. And if we let the devil counsel us, that tyrant will take over your heart, your mind, and your emotions, and your will. Like Paul says, we need to be instruments of righteousness for God. We need to let this mind and heart and body and will be an instrument of righteousness for God. I want to be a vessel, a broken vessel for Jesus. I want to pour out in my jar of clay. I want to pour out Jesus. I don't want to be a vessel for sin. I don't want to be a mind that lets that tyrant, the devil, counsel me when I give into anger and fear. I want to call the Lord to mind. And he says, therefore, I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. Great is your faithfulness. Can you testify that that's true? I think of two examples. One is King Ahaz. It says in 2 Chronicles 28, in his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. Instead of drawing near to God in his trouble, he got worse. He gave into sin even more. He gave into himself and his own pride even more. And he became more evil. See, whatever you're going through in life, it's going to expose who you are. Now, for a Christian, the Lord wants to expose a lot of bad things in us in order to conform us into the image of Jesus. Amen? I think of a king named Manasseh. Remember, he was the worst of all the kings. But it says, in his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. Sometimes God uses trouble to draw us near to Him. And it's not fun, it's not happy, it's a little bit ugly, it's difficult. But can you testify that Christ is everything you need? I need to have that perspective. I love what John Newton said. Though I am not what I ought to be, and I am not what I wish to be, and I am not what I one day will be, I can truly say I'm not what I once was. And I can heartily join with the apostle and acknowledge by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's all by His grace. Oh, 2019 might have been a disaster. Or it might have been a wonderful thing. Listen, don't get your perspective off of Christ. Don't get your perspective on your failures. Don't get your perspective on your successes. Both of them will lead you astray. Keep your focus on Jesus. Our perspective must always be on Christ. Remember who you are. You know who you are? You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what Peter said. It's so easy to let other people define us. Somebody at work, somebody at church, somebody in your family says, you're nothing but blank. Right? We all hear that. You know what? No human being defines me. My great God and King defines me. If you get your eyes off of Christ and on to what other people say about you, you will have a very miserable 2020. You've got to hear what Jesus says about you. He says you're loved with an everlasting love. You're chosen. You're predestined to be conformed to His image. Those are marvelous promises. You see, whatever life brings, God intends to enhance your focus on Christ. Now, you would never design life the way it has gone for you. You would have never done it. You know why? Because you don't have all wisdom, do you? God has all wisdom. And Jeremiah says, you know what? In his heart of hearts, I've forgotten what happiness is. This is not the way I would have planned it. This is not the way I would have done it. But you know what? I'm not going to think according to this fallen cabeza. I'm not going to think according to my lying heart. I am going to call this to mind. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to focus on the Lord God. And that's where I get my hope. Look at the best Christian that there is. There'll always be a failure in their lives somewhere. There'll be some blind spot. Don't look to men to encourage you. Just say, it's by the grace of God that any of us serve the Lord. He's got to focus on His Lord in order to have hope. Before trouble showed up in your life, maybe you were coasting a bit in your Christian life. But when you get to that place of despair, when you've lost all happiness, you have no other choice but to call on the Lord for help, for comfort, and strength. Because you know that the way of the transgressor is hard. That the way of sin is misery. That sin is going to make you more and more and more unhappy. The only way out of that pit is by renewing your mind with the words of Christ, the Holy Bible, Psalm 119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I love that verse. It has the idea of a treasure store. Some of us would wonder what we would do with the money that we would get if we were a professional athlete. You know, if I got, you know, $100,000 a month or $500,000 a month, you know, what would I do with that stored up money? All of you have ideas. You know, sometimes when you get a little bit of money, you get ideas. I know that one of the things I want to do this summer is I want to put a pad in the back of my yard for basketball. I want to put a concrete pad down so Will and I can play basketball, right? Joaquin, you've done that at your house. And you know, we have these things that we save up. But imagine if you had all the money in the world, what would you do with it? You know, we have something more important and more valuable than money that perishes. Amen? We have the Word of God, and we get to store it up in our heart. And if we choose to walk according to the Word, it will rescue us from sin and misery every single time. I love Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he meditate 5 minutes a day, because that's what his quiet time should be. See, you can never get more holy by lists, by legalism. Holiness comes in an awakening to your union with Christ. You pray without ceasing because you're united with Christ 24/7. You meditate on the law of the Lord day and night because you're united with Christ. This is the perspective that we need to have. That whatever life brings, it's meant to enhance our focus on Christ. When life is easy, we often ignore the Word. But when we really need the Word, when we're hurting and desperate, we find what we need in Christ every time. Look at verse 22 back in our text. Jeremiah, he says, I'm turning to God, I'm turning to Jehovah, and this is what I see when I focus on the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Do you know the word steadfast love? As the word has said, I've mentioned it many times. It's a very important word, and it has the idea of God's commitment to you, His covenant love to you. It's not mainly about your love. It can be used in that way, depending on the context. But in most contexts in the Hebrew Scriptures, this word, mercies, is often what it's translated in the King James Bible. But steadfast love, it has the idea that God is never going to give up on you. It's the Philippians 1:6 word, that he who has begun a good work will complete it until the day that Jesus returns. Can I just give you hope right now? Stop looking to yourself. You're not going to change yourself or your circumstances. But there is one who has his eye on you. And it's not based on any great accomplishment that you've done. You're not more wonderful than anyone else. You might be more of a sinner or a rascal. But God has his heart set on you, not based on anything in you, but based on his own pleasure. The glory of his delight, his grace is upon you. Isn't that amazing? The steadfast love of the Lord, what does it say, saints? It never ceases. It never stops. God never gives up on you. He says in Romans 8:31. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that, saints? Do you believe that if God is for us, there is no one that can be against us? He says in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Do you see what God is saying here? That those who are justified, their steps are ordered by the Lord. By the way, who's good? There is none good but God. If you're good, it's because you're in Christ. And your steps are ordered by the Lord. That's what Ephesians 1:10 says. It says your steps are predestined. Your good works are predestined to glorify Him. Isn't that amazing? And it says He delights in your pathway. God delights in seeing you progress in holiness. And yes, though you fall, you're not going to be utterly cast down. You're not going to utterly fall away from the Lord. That's the idea, apostasy. You're not going to apostatize. But why? Because the Lord upholds you with His hand. Our younger kids got bikes for Christmas. I didn't just put Ava on her bike without training wheels and just go, whee, crash. And God doesn't do that for any of you. What we did is we walked right by her. We walked right by her. She wasn't out of our sight. Let go for a little bit and then grabbed her. Let go for a little bit and then grabbed her. Until she could do it all by herself. But we were still watching her. And there are times when fathers and mothers get distracted, but you know what? God doesn't get distracted. Whatever you're going through in 2020, He's with you 100% of the time. You're never out of His sight. And you're never outside of the power of His hand, His almighty hand. It's on your life. His mercies never cease. That's the perspective we need to have. We need to have a view of God, a view of a great and mighty and holy and amazingly loving God. And if you lose your focus on that, you're going to have a miserable 2020, no matter how successful you are. But if you have the worst circumstances in 2020 and you keep your eyes on Jesus, I promise you, you will have a good 2020. We not only need to get our perspective right. And by the way, let me just give you this before we go to the next point. We know that for those who love God, Paul says in Romans 8, all things work together for good for those who are the called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the direction God is guiding all of us. Conformity to Jesus. But let me just focus not only on a new perspective, a renewed perspective on Christ, but a renewed power with God. You see, whatever God brings to us will bring a new empowerment. Back in Lamentations 3, Jeremiah says that His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Sometimes you roll out of bed and you've got a headache that ibuprofen won't take away. You've got a heartache and you read the Bible and it doesn't seem to have an effect. And you got a burden that you're trying to carry. And you end up messing your day up because all you can think about is that burden. Can I just say that yesterday's power is not sufficient for this hour? These burdens need new mercies. And I'm so glad that God has an infinite supply of new mercies, not only every year, but every morning and every minute. Can you just say hallelujah? I don't have power in myself, but I know who does. Isaiah said, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God says, you wait on me, you get all the power of an eagle who seems to have no snags because he's flying in the air. He's flying above all the impediments. We find out from Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 that because there was a possibility, a temptation of being conceited because of all the revelations he had received from the Lord, that a messenger of Satan was sent to harass him. A thorn, he says, was given to him in his flesh to keep him from being conceited. And he sought the Lord several times. He says three times. And what was God's answer to him? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes that migraine is exactly what you need. Sometimes the fact that your arthritis is flared up in new places. Sometimes your back has gone out for the second or third or fourth time for that year, and that is exactly what you need. God is not Santa Claus. God is not interested in giving you trinkets and temporary happiness. He wants to transform the depths of your soul into Christ-likeness. So, whatever life brings is going to bring a fresh empowerment. God is going to give you fresh power for this hour. And whatever life brings, God's going to equip you to testify of His faithfulness. When Jeremiah was sitting in Egypt writing the book of Lamentations while all of Israel had been captured and brought to Babylon, though Jeremiah had escaped and he saw God's plan, it just seemed like God's plan was derailed, but it's not. And when Jeremiah lifted up his eyes back to God, he could only testify, "Great is your faithfulness." He says, "I'm not going to go on what my eyes see. I'm going to go on God's perfect record and reputation." And that's what we all need to do. We cannot go on what our eyes see. We need to recall how faithful God is. Has God ever broken a promise? Has He ever failed in any of His word? I want you to understand that there might be some faithful people in here, but nobody compares to our great God. You have failed so many times, and the best of humanity is humanity at best. But God never fails. His faithfulness is great. It's absolutely perfect. His reputation is inscrutable, though you may not understand what He's doing. And so whatever is going to come into your life is going to equip you to be able to say, eventually, God is faithful. And you're going to be able to tell that to other people. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Some of you, the reason you're going through what you're going through is because God is equipping you in the power of God through His Word and through His Spirit so that you might be a great minister for His kingdom. He wants to fill you up in your dryness with the oil of the Spirit of God so that He can pour you out at the right time, in the right way. Can you testify that Jesus' words are true? He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And some of you are going through serious trials. Some of it has to do with your family. You may have difficulty with your children. And you've done everything that God has asked you to do. You've prayed for them. You've prayed with them. You've taught them the Word. Yet they've chosen to go astray. And you're learning that you need to be like the prodigal's father who goes every day to the end of that road looking and hoping and believing God that his son or daughter is going to return. That's what you need to do. He's teaching you that. And then when that happens, and you see another parent who's heartbroken, what are you going to do? You're going to put your arm around them. And you're going to say, "I've been there." But you go to the end of that road. You get on your knees. You pray to the God who answers. You pray to the one who knows your child's heart. God is faithful. Great is His faithfulness. You can testify. It's hard. But you have the comfort that God gave you so that you could give to somebody else. And then finally, we not only have a renewed perspective of Christ, a renewed power in Christ, but we have a new renewed passion for Christ. Whatever comes your way, it's going to elevate your longing for Christ. That's what it did for Jeremiah. As he looked at Israel decimated, destroyed, and God's people in slavery in Babylon, he says, "The Lord is my portion," verse 24. "Therefore I will hope in him." The Lord is my portion. Whatever life brings you in 2020, don't turn to yourself. Let your longing for Christ increase. And say, "The Lord is my portion." That sounds so familiar. I didn't put it in here, but it says in Psalm 23 and verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I'll not lack for anything. Whatever success, whatever failure comes in 2020, you've got to say, My life is not defined by my failures or by my successes. The Lord is my portion. That's who defines me. I think of Solomon, who said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Essentially, the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is that you need to fear God. You need to have faith in God and follow him in obedience. Obey his commandments. This is the whole purpose of man, is to have a living faith in the Lord. He says, essentially, without that, everything is a fleeting mist. It's vanity. And the whole book is an exposition of life without God. He says, I sought women, I sought buildings, I sought money, I sought pleasure. I had everything that this world could ever offer. And at the end of the day, because my eyes weren't on the Lord, it's all vanity. I like what Paul says. "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Whatever accomplishment you get, I'm just going to say with Paul, it's dung. It's a big pile of, you know what? Doo-doo. And that's what he says. It's garbage. It's refuse compared to the excellency of knowing Christ. So every accomplishment that we get, you know, I'm working on my master's degree, and after that I want to keep going. And I'm gonna get to certain places in my life, but I'm not looking for some amazing feeling of accomplishment, because all of that is a big pile of dung compared to the excellency of knowing Christ. My purpose in life is to know Christ. Everything else is just wrapping paper. Amen? We need to have that longing to know him. So, as we close, I think about Y2K. That was a big year, right? This is 2020. I remember in 1999, they had that whole hysteria. You remember that? I mean, they were selling apocalypse food online. Not online. Online hardly existed. But you could order apocalypse food. You could get stuff that you could mix that will last for like 50 years when the nuclear holocaust occurs, you know? They still sell it. That's right. Jim Baker is still selling that stuff. Ridiculous. My hope is not in food that lasts 50 years. Right? For 2020, I want to have 2020 vision on Jesus. I want to not be putting my hope in simple worldly things. I don't want to be taken off guard by failures, because failures will come. You're going to get trials that are going to punch you in your chin. That doesn't define you. There's going to be people who talk about you and say things that are evil. That doesn't define you. My hope is in the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. His steadfast love never ceases. Say it with me. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you that you will never stop working on us. You have given your Son for us. How will you not also freely with him give us all things? Lord, our hope is not in the stuff of this world or in succeeding, or our hope is not to avoid failure, but our hope is to glorify and honor Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray that you would do a great work. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know your Son as Savior, I pray that they would turn their eyes to him and confess their sin, that they are a sinner, and confess that Jesus died for our sins, and be born again and turn their life over to Jesus Christ. Before we have our last song, with our eyes closed for privacy, can I just ask, is there anyone here that you say, I'm not sure if I'm a believer, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian? Maybe you're visiting here, maybe you're just you're not sure if you truly belong to Jesus, but you want to be sure. If that's you and I can pray for you, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking, nobody knows. Is there somebody here that says, I need prayer, I don't know if I know Christ, but I want to know. Anyone here, just gently raise your hand and then put it down so I can see it. Pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God for your humility. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. It's beautiful. It's really a beautiful thing to humble yourself and say, you know, I'm not sure if I know Christ, but, you know, 2020, this is a great year. This is a great day to know Christ. Amen? What a beautiful thing. Anyone else? Say, I need Christ. Someone else here, you're a believer, but you want to grow and change. God has perhaps put you in a place of burden, a place of difficulty, and you're saying, you know, in this place of difficulty, I want to stay faithful to God. This place of difficulty, I want to stay faithful to God. I don't want to get my eyes on myself and get depressed or on the world and get discouraged. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. If that's you and you say, Pastor Matt, I need prayer, would you just raise your hand and just say, I need prayer. I'm in a difficult situation, but I believe God. I know he's got good things for me. I know that he's got me, and I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get my eyes on myself or on my circumstances. Thank you. So many around the room. And then finally, let me ask one last thing before we pray. Say, you know what? God has blessed me so much. This has been a great year, and now I'm looking forward to new things. But you know what? I struggle with pride. I struggle with getting my eyes off the Lord because of my successes. And I have a prideful heart, and I'm asking the Lord to keep me humble and childlike. And I don't want to get any of the glory. I want to give him all the glory. If that's you, you say, pray for me, Pastor Matt. I need that. I struggle with pride. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father, you see the hearts of your people. You see their burdens. You see their successes. And Father, we're asking you that you would give us the new mercies that we need for this new year. And Lord, would you even look upon those who raised their hands this morning, or some who didn't even raise their hands, but they need Christ, they're without you, Lord. Would you give new mercies, pour out new mercies for this new year, and save those who are lost here this morning. Save them even now. Let them call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You are the one who opens our eyes, opens our hearts. And Lord, for those believers who are just in a rut, help them to know that you're the God who's a way maker. And you want them to be filled with your power in their weakness. And those who are struggle with pride, which is all of us, Lord, help us to be those humble children of God for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.